Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. So the apostles are out doing the work that Jesus did, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, preaching the word of God, and Jesus continues to do the same thing, going from city to city. 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. John the Baptist is sitting in prison for preaching the pure word of God. Got him into all sorts of trouble. But of course, he never backed down. Anyway, he hears about all the wonderful things that Jesus is doing, all the miracles. So he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. 3, and said to him, "Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? Are you the Messiah? Or is there still somebody else on the way?" John had these two disciples ask Jesus this question. And I don't think it was for John's benefit. I think it was for their benefit. Because it says that they were his disciples. They were still his disciples. They shouldn't be. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus and away from himself. And he wanted his followers to follow Jesus, not him. And yet they were still his disciples. And John doesn't have much longer left on this earth. He knows it. And he wants his disciples to be assured of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. So he sends them to Jesus to ask this question. And I love our Lord's answer. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see." In other words, go tell John once again the things that I do. Verse 5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And all these different things mentioned by our Lord have one thing in common. Isaiah the prophet spoke, and he said that these were the things that the Messiah would do. So our Lord, instead of saying, "Yes, I'm the Messiah," he said, you go tell John the things that I do, and let him get his answer from Scripture. Do I line up with Scripture? Do the things that I do line up with what the Scripture says the Messiah would do? The answer is yes. John has his answer, and so do you. So do you, listeners. So did John's disciples. Why? Because it lines up with the Word of God. Line everything up with the Word of God. Make your judgment based on what the Word of God says, nothing else. And then Jesus adds in verse 6, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." In other words, blessed is the person who doesn't stumble over me, who doesn't look at my words and my works and come to the conclusion that I'm not the Son of God. 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" If that's what you went out to see, you were disappointed, because John was more like a mighty oak tree, not a little reed shaken with the wind. He was spiritually strong and grounded in the Word of God. 8, but what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. John was not pampered. He was a mighty man of God. 9, but what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say to you, and more than a prophet. If they thought John was just a prophet, well, they were partially right. He was a prophet, but he was more than just a prophet. He was the last Old Testament prophet. Verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. John was called by Almighty God, yes, to be a prophet, to proclaim the word of God, but also to prepare the way for his son. 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Well, there were some great men of God who lived in Old Testament times. I mean, you can talk about Abraham, you can talk about Moses, you can talk about Elijah. I mean, all these prophets and these men of God were great, and they did marvelous things for the Lord, men of faith. Jesus said, John's the best. Out of all those men, John was the best. But if you're in the kingdom of heaven, in other words, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you're greater than John. Greater because you have more privilege. You have more spiritual truth than John ever had. John knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Somehow he knew that he would die and be the Lamb of God that would pay for our sins. But we've got perfect knowledge of what happened. We know that Jesus was crucified. We also know that Jesus was raised from the dead. John didn't talk about those things. He didn't think in those terms. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And no, that doesn't mean that you put a gun to somebody's head and say, convert or die. Christians are not Muslims. We don't do that. And any Christian that has done that in the past has been out of the will of God and been behaving completely unbiblically. What this means is that it's hard. You have to be a fighter to get into the kingdom of God and stay there. To be a follower of Jesus and to be a faithful follower of Jesus and endure in that, you have to be a fighter. You have to fight against your own flesh. You have to fight against the world, the temptations that they bring and the threats that they may bring, and Satan as well. You got to be tough, spiritually speaking, to get into the kingdom of heaven and to stay in the kingdom of heaven. But God gives grace and the strength to do it if you choose to go with it. 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, John was the last Old Testament prophet. 14, and if you will receive it, this is Elijah which was to come. So in other words, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. The Old Testament prophesied that Elijah would come before the Messiah showed up. And Elijah didn't come back literally, but he came back in the form of John the Baptist. Not that John the Baptist was a reincarnation, because that's unbiblical. It's just that John the Baptist preached like Elijah, lived like Elijah. He was a man like Elijah. 15, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, let this sink in and understand it. 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like to children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, we have piped to you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not lamented. Like little children who can't be satisfied. That was the generation that was around when our Lord was here. Nothing would please them when it came to men of God. They always found something to pick at. And he explains, 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a devil. The religious ruler said John the Baptist is demon-possessed because he's too strict. Then 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. They didn't like Jesus either because he did drink wine. And he wasn't so strict on himself. And he hung out with sinners in order to call them to repentance. But he hung out with them, and they didn't like him for that either, for that reason. So they thought Jesus was demon-possessed because he was that way, and John the Baptist was the exact opposite, and they thought he was possessed too. Just couldn't please him. But like Jesus says here, wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, in the end, the truth will win out, and then you will know. which message gets people to heaven? The message of the religious leaders who called John the Baptist demon-possessed and Jesus demon-possessed? Did their followers make it to heaven? Did they make it to heaven? Absolutely not. Is John Baptist in heaven? Is Jesus in heaven? Are those who receive Christ as Lord and Savior in heaven? Yes. Wisdom is justified by her children. 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So Jesus is going to reprimand the cities where he did so many miracles. 21. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, you people who have sat there and listened to me teach the word of God, and you've beheld my manners, my mannerism, my behavior, and you've seen the miracles that I've done. You've seen how I have fulfilled the word of God, and you reject me, there's no excuse. And your judgment is going to be very serious, because you have had so much light, so much privilege. 22, but I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in that day of judgment than for you. Why? Because they didn't have the light that these people had. It is very serious to sin against knowledge, to sin against truth. And the more truth you have been exposed to, the greater your sin will be when you reject it. And Jesus continues, and you, Capernaum, and remember, Capernaum was his adopted hometown and really his ministry headquarters up north, which are exalted to heaven. Why? Because they saw so many miracles. And Jesus spent so much time there and said so much, spoke so much. You shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. If Sodom would have had what you had, those homosexuals, those radicals, those extremists, those perverted people would have repented, said Jesus. As bad as they were, they would have repented. So these mild-mannered people in Capernaum were worse in the eyes of God than the sinners in Sodom. And that's saying an awful lot when you consider that God destroyed Sodom with fire and brimstone because of their sin. And so Jesus says in 24, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. On judgment day, it's going to be easier for the people who died in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Were they radical homosexuals? No. They just sinned against an awful lot of light. You just think about that. There are people perhaps listening to this message, listening to other messages from Scripture verse by verse, sitting in churches where the preacher preaches the Word of God, and you continue to reject truth. Some of the hottest places in hell are reserved for people like you. 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you have hidden the word of God from people who are self-righteous. They think they're so smart. They think they're smarter than God. They don't see the truth. They don't want it anyway. But you revealed it to babes. And that's talking about people who just have a simple heart for truth, childlike faith. When God tells them something, they believe it. 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Seems good in God's sight because he saves the humble who are willing to listen to him. 27, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, to whom he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. If you want to know the Father, there's only one way to get to know him, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus reveals the Father. He is the full revelation of God the Father. That's why if you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the Father. I don't care what you say. You say, oh, I serve Almighty God, the God of the Old Testament. I just reject his Son. No, you don't. You don't serve that God then. You don't serve the one true God. I don't know who in the world you serve. Some figment of your own imagination, but you don't serve the God of the Old Testament if you reject Jesus. You can't. It's impossible. And then Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's so many people in this world suffering alone. They're sick. They're frustrated. Their life is a failure, and they know it, and it never gets any better. And basically, they're suffering alone. They don't know why it's happening. They don't know how to correct it. And furthermore, what do they have looked forward to? Death? They have no idea what's going to happen then. And they keep making the same mistakes. And they keep doing foolish things, perhaps. And then they get into more trouble. Jesus says, will you come to me? Just follow me. Learn from me. Put my yoke on you. Let me walk with you. Serve me. Walk in communion with me. And I'll get you through this life. And it'll be a better life than you ever thought possible. Maybe you won't have everything, you know, that the world says is important. No. God isn't promising that. But you'll have joy and you'll have peace if you walk with Christ, if you receive him as Lord and Savior. And not only that, you'll have a genuine hope. And when you die, you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven. And someday you'll have a raised body living on a new earth. Come to Christ while you can.